The Weekly Connect. The Weekly Connect. On RNIB Connect Radio.
Joining me now is Jane Manley, who is sharing her thoughts and experiences on waiting times for guide dogs. Jane, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me an opportunity.
Your experience of having a guide dog then, can I ask first of all, what sort of drove you, what pushed you to getting a guide dog?
I'd been a long cane user for about 5 or 6 years and had become very independent and I felt socially able. But I began to realise that my ability was really based on everybody else pitching in and making sure I was standing in the right place, walking in the right area, that I was safe to go up and down curbs, travelling around on public transport, etc. And a guide dog I had thought would give me greater independence, but on the other hand, was nervous about the responsibility of actually having one, having to look after it, wondering what I would need to do, being slightly fearful of taking tests and exams, all the sort of things you think are going to be involved in having such a responsibility when you're given a guide dog. So I applied anyway, and my fears were soon put at rest by the Reading Mobility team, who were able to sort of talk me through, give me an idea of what it felt like to hold the dog when you're walking and so forth, and give me the confidence that it was something I could do, to hand over my trust to an animal rather than my own ability with a cane. So that, you know, that was basically the hurdle I had to cross, and then just it was just the wait for a dog.
And how long in the end did you wait?
I waited almost sort of 2.5-3 years, but part of that was because I'd expressed a preference for a particular breed, and so it wasn't entirely due to the lack of dogs in my area, although in Surrey there is quite a waiting list. It was primarily because I'd hoped for a German Shepherd, but I'm now paired with a Retriever Labrador mix.
What in your mind is a reasonable wait then for a guide dog? I mean, we have to, I guess, accept that there is a huge amount of work that needs to be done. The dog has to be born. That's the
Absolutely.
First thing. And, you know, then the training has to take place, and there's a period of time with all of that. And, you know, then there are people who get guide dogs who, and, you know, it just doesn't work for them. So that then creates another lag on the system, if you like. I guess there must be quite a lot of that. I wonder what is acceptable in that case.
It's also, I think, just to add to the points you've made, it's the fact that some dogs don't make it. So they breed thinking they have 6 to home and they only end up being able to home 4. Mm. So again, that adds to the weight. I think it's so individual in terms of the weight. For me, I would say I felt that I waited longer. You know, I'd have been happy with sort of 18 months to 2 years, purely because I did have the benefit of a sighted partner and an ability to organise my life to make people help me get to where I needed to be. But there are lots of people that are literally housebound and socially isolated without dogs, either because they've had to give up a dog midway through because the dog can't work, or the dog becomes ill, or something in their circumstances has changed, which means the dog has to be taken away from them, their original dog. And for those people, getting a replacement dog should be, as it is, the priority. But even so, I'm aware of some people waiting sort of 6-7 months or longer for a replacement. And that to me seems unreasonable. But it is back to all of the issues. There are more demands being made of guide dogs to provide animals. There are more failures within the breeding system, I think, these days. There seem to be more dogs that don't quite make the grade.
Mm. We had a comment earlier on the programme suggesting that guide dogs are doing too much these days. They're involved in other aspects of life. You know, for example, they do a lot of work with technology companies now, mm-hmm. to try and create new alternative ways to get around, or indeed additional ways to get around using a guide dog. They also do a lot of work now with children, Blind Children UK, of course, the charity, which is part of Guide Dogs. A huge amount of work that's going on. Do you think guide dogs are doing too much?
In terms of their relationship with people like Microsoft to build technology and apps and, you know, the additional features, that is important because the new wave of blind youngsters are coming up in that environment. So it's important that guide dogs recognize that as an alternative to a dog. The difficulty becomes when you're saying, well, you know, where is the expenditure going? What are we focusing on? Where is the training? And whether those things are detracting from the budget that we have to spend. I confess I don't know the answer to that. If you look at the accounts, the last published accounts were sort of 2014-15, there was a large amount of money that went to that, but not a disproportionate amount. It seemed reasonable for what they were trying to achieve. The buddy dog system that you mentioned, that's an excellent way of using dogs that aren't quite going to make the grade as guide dogs to actually work with young people and give them the confidence so that as they become older and more able to manage a dog for themselves, they are ready for the commitment and responsibility. So there's a positive because they don't fall out of the system and the dogs that they get are used effectively and properly first time round. So I think it's a difficult question. We are changing as a society, and what we need isn't necessarily for everybody a dog. My guide, for example, the huge volunteer hours that go into that, those are essential for people who still want mobility and social access, but just can't, for whatever reason, have a dog.
We've had a lot of Facebook comments on this, as you can probably imagine. Lots of people have a wide range of views on this. Some saying, you know, the organisation are doing too much. They need to be focused more on guide dogs and training guide dogs because that is what they are. That's what's in their name. There are others, and I quote one who says, I hope this conversation and any conversation we've had already on the Weekly Connect doesn't turn into I hate guide dogs. Interesting mix of comment, of course. And I think, you know, where are you in amongst all of that? I mean, you don't sound to me like the person who's suggesting you hate guide dogs.
No,
in fact, you almost sound
the
opposite, I guess.
I think where I stand is that I'm looking at them as a solution to a lot of issues. The base that we have of people who are coming through with different types of sight loss need a different sort of response to the standard that we may have begun to appreciate in the old days. And I do accept that a lot of the advertising is centered on fluffy puppies that look cute and can, you know, just get people to extract coins from their pockets.
Yeah.
But
which needs to be done. We accept that that has to be done.
Absolutely. But where I think guide dogs fail is both to the wider community and to their members and users, is that they don't really have an open discussion about what's going on with the other things that they do provide. They're kind of the author of their own misfortune because there isn't a huge amount of interaction, I feel, as a service user, between my views and expectations and understanding and what's actually happening within the organisation. I suppose I stand very squarely in the middle. I feel that there are points that I wish guide dogs would change, and I'm hoping that the change of CEO will breed a new transparency and a new engagement, but that will enable me to understand the broader reach of guide dogs so that I know that what I get from them is just a small part of what they are becoming for the future.
Jane Manley, thank you for your points of view.
Thank you.
Great to hear Jane's point of view there. Thank you for sharing with us. That is what we're here for. We're your space to raise the issues that affect you. And when we hear from you, we know we're doing it right and we're doing a good job. So do get in touch.
The Weekly Connect. The Weekly Connect. On RNIB Connect Radio.